BeastNet is brought to you by James Safety Services and in partnership with Beast OCR. Here we discuss all things OCR and fitness related: running, endurance, conditioning, rucking, and more. Welcome to BeastNet.
Hey everyone, Hammer here, and on this episode of BeastNet, I'm chatting with Eric Reevesman about what it was like to do the Seattle Spartan Sprint with a peg leg, the Portland terrain, and his love for OCR.
First off, let's kind of get some backstory on your injury from this past year. What happened there? I mean, like, I guess you had a pretty decently broken leg. You had had it in like an L-shaped cast for a while.
Yeah. So back in early February, when quote unquote Snowmageddon came to the Seattle area, I don't really have a cool story. But I was just walking. I pulled up to my office where I work and got out of my car, took three steps out of my car, and I just slipped and fell on some ice. My body went one way and my foot stayed planted. I ended up falling and dislocating my ankle and then breaking my fibula as well. So that was pretty gruesome. There's a bit of a background there that some people find enjoyable. So I was actually on a work conference call at the time I fell. And thank goodness I was on mute. I fell, looked down, saw that my foot was pointing the wrong way, and I took myself off of mute and politely asked my boss, "Hey, I think I dislocated my ankle. Do you mind if I dial out early today on the call?" And just dead silence. Wow. and then, you know, like, "Hey, is anyone there? I gotta go." And everyone's like, yeah, get out of there. So I hang up the call, and then I'm trying to crawl over to the sidewalk, and somebody who I'm not sure for certain, but I believe they were homeless, actually walking by, ended up having to help me up off of the ground and help me into my car. So that was, and help me dial 911 and everything to get an ambulance over to take me to the emergency room. But that was a very interesting, interesting Tuesday morning, I'll tell you that.
Oh, wow. I bet. Yeah. It's crazy. I mean, I've got a friend of mine. He's a drummer. I mean, he's been drumming his whole life, and he stepped off a curb after he got off work one day, and he broke his ankle just stepping off a curb.
And yeah,
when he went to catch himself, and you know, he stepped down, broke that ankle. He went to catch himself and broke his other ankle. How do you break two ankles stepping off of a curb when you've been using your feet and your ankles your whole life?
Like, yeah, that's
sometimes it's just unexplainable, man.
Yeah, and it's crazy, you know, doing what a lot of people think is, you know, insane or intense or extreme or whatever with the obstacle course races. You know, it's funny how just walking kind of is the thing to get you. So it's was an experience, but you know, it's healing up now, and it was a long road. And the cast you mentioned earlier, the cast you mentioned earlier was actually just a normal boot. But what I was using was an alternative to crutches. So that's why my leg was kind of up in that position, because it was a peg leg style, style hands-free crutch. So that's why my leg was in that position. But my foot and ankle and lower leg was just in a regular boot. But the tool I was using, it's a hands-free crutch. It's very similar to a peg leg with a knee pad, but it allowed me to walk a little bit more natural and use my hands for different things. So that was the alternative I chose rather than being on crutches for 8 weeks or using a scooter. None of those really sounded appealing. And that way I figured I could be a pirate for 8 weeks. So that was pretty fun.
Definitely. Cause I mean, I've been on crutches before too. In 2006, I actually broke my left ankle. And I say 2006, but it was really like 2005/2006, because it was New Year's Eve and it rolled basically over into New Year's Day. I'd just gotten off of work. I worked at a restaurant at the time and I was a line cook. And so we closed the store. I get home. About two, three years after I graduated high school. So during my high school senior year, I was in vocational school for a firefighter EMT. And while I was there, you know, I obviously knew how to respond to incidents and stuff like that. Well, I get off of work, I go home, and at the time I was still living in my parents' house because I was getting ready to go to college and stuff like that. So, you know, kids, you know, you save money and whatnot. So living at my parents' house, and this lady was out celebrating with a bunch of her friends, and they decided to like have like a race down the street that I lived on. And she ended up striking like a parked car with her vehicle, and it caused her vehicle to kind of turn. It rolled into a yard across the street and rolled probably about two or three times. And ended up landing down back on the tires, but she was pretty worse for wear. So I heard the whole thing. I got up out of my bed and I was like, what the heck is, you know, what was that? That was so crazy. I go out of that, I look out my window. And I'm like, holy crap, somebody just crashed right, you know, next to our house. And so I throw on some shorts, you know, a shirt, and I run out there and, you know, I'm yelling at the neighbor whose yard they're in. I'm yelling at the neighbor, you know, call 911, get them out here. And I'm trying to keep her kind of, you know, basically just hold up in the car and not having her move very much. And I mean, there's glass everywhere, all kinds of stuff. And once I made sure that she was, you know, stable and she wasn't going to go anywhere, I don't know what I was thinking. I was like, okay, I'm going to go get a crowbar out of my garage, my parents' garage, so I can pry the hood open and take the battery cables off so that this horn, you know, this horn will shut up. And at that point, I'd lived in that house maybe, I don't know, I'm going to say probably about 5 or 6 years, give or take. And that entire time that I lived there, I never once found this pothole in our yard. I mean, and keep in mind, you know, I'd mowed the lawn plenty of times and played out in the front yard and all that, but never once had I found this pothole until that night. I was headed back to the house. And I stepped in that pothole and my left ankle or my foot, it turned right and then rolled. And it just tore my ankle up. So being on crutches for the next, I don't know, I think it was like 8 to 12 weeks, something like that. Thankfully, I didn't have to have any rods or screws or pins or anything put in there. Because ankles are a very complicated area. So, but being on crutches for 8 to 12 weeks really sucked on my armpits because, you know, you've got. I mean, I wasn't as heavy as I am now, but still, all that body weight that you put down on those things. And yeah, I just, having crutches sucks, and I can see why you would go for that alternative. Me personally, I'm kind of a wacky guy, just like Mike. So I'm sure if, you know, anything ever happened again like that, knock on wood, that I would probably opt for the scooter, but that's just me. I'm
I think it's just such a wacky dude.
All right, and now we're going to take a quick pause so we can hear from our sponsors.
Do you like challenges that are fun, tough, and might use tacos? Head on over to beastchallenge.com and check out our upcoming events, including Beasts 5K Plus, a combination of race and endurance event, and the Bucket Mile. Keep an eye on the Beasts OCR Facebook group for event gatherings. For more information, head on over to beastchallenge.com and the Beasts OCR Facebook group. You'll be glad you did.
And we're back.
I did have a couple pins, or not a pin, but some screws and some stuff put in my leg, but that was for my fibula. So that was kind of another thing too. I was just a little worried about, you know, banging my leg or anything on crutches, because I am also a really clumsy dude. And I was really thinking about the scooter, but you know, to be honest, the peg leg thing just looked really fun. So I figured, why not give that a shot? And then I actually tried the scooter. A coworker of mine, she broke her leg and had one, had a scooter sitting around. So I was at the office. I'm like, why not give this a shot? I am so glad I didn't choose the scooter. Within 30 minutes, I ended up falling off of the scooter straight onto my kneecap, because of course your leg's up and you can't catch yourself. And those things, at least the one I was using, it didn't really have a great turn radius. So I would try and make like a tight turn or whatever in some of our hallways, and then the wheel would, it lost its balance. So I'd end up sliding off right onto my knee. And that didn't feel good, and it was bruised for a while and just very uncomfortable. But yeah, the scooter is not for me. So happy I chose what I did.
Handicapped drift scooter.
And also, I mean, you know, Spartan Race and being outdoors and loving to hike and everything, the peg leg option, just, it had an Epsom sole on. That material is the same they use for like rock climbing shoes and stuff, so it was pretty grippy.
Okay.
So it you know, allowed me to continue to be outdoors, walk, hike, and do a Spartan race, which was really, really cool.
Yeah, cool. On the lines of that, let's talk about that. That was the Seattle Sprint, am I correct?
Yes, Seattle Sprint of 2019 in April.
Yeah, I remember seeing you out there on the course, man. That was actually pretty motivational. That was actually really cool, because I'm thinking, man, you know, I don't normally get out and do stuff in this type of cold weather, because the day before had really sucked, and the super was horrible. You know, we talked about that in earlier episodes, and. But I actually almost didn't come back out for the sprint just because I was anticipating it being so cold. And I was like, the second I saw you out there with your peg leg, and I think at the time you were actually going, where was this? I think it was Bucket Brigade. And I remember seeing you do Bucket Brigade, and actually, you know what? I saw you prior to that doing the barbed wire crawl. And then later on is when I saw you doing the Bucket Brigade. And I was like, you know what? I have no reason to complain now, because this dude is out here doing this with a, you know, a busted leg and a peg leg apparatus. This guy's got it going. I mean, it was super cool.
Well, I appreciate that, but to be fair, you know, I didn't do the super, and I volunteered at the kids race during the super, and even just volunteering was tough, being out in that cold and rain and watching those kids and all those racers out there. I mean, I wanted nothing more than to be out there with you guys, but I'm happy I waited for the sprint. And did that, which was still, as far as sprints go, the weather conditions did not make that an easy race. So everybody out there just really earned their medal and T-shirt that day, and Banana and Fit 8, of course.
Well, as far as I'm concerned, you earned a super medal, a sprint medal, and you probably should have earned like a 2X trifecta just for having that peg leg apparatus.
Well, I appreciate that. Maybe we can email Spartan and see what they can do with that. It was a really, really fun course. And, I was definitely nervous about going into it, having that handicap. But you first and foremost, having tremendous people in the obstacle course race community being support. I mean, I definitely got to call out Nick Thompson and Don Gherkin. They ran the race with me and really supported me all the way through. I think Don ran off and about halfway through the course because we were keeping her up a little too much, just being so slow. But Nick, he stayed all the way, and that's not a knock towards Don at all. I really appreciate her helping me out as much as she did. I just know the weather conditions were starting to get to her, so she had to keep moving a little bit so it didn't affect her. That's totally awesome. I really appreciate all the support she was able to give that race. But Nick helped me all the way through that course, and people say this a lot, but I really don't think I could have done it without their support. And of course, my amazing girlfriend, Rachel, who I'm not just saying that because she's in the room with me as I'm doing this episode, but her support, of course, was just tremendous definitely not, it just awesome. And, really, really took into consideration, am I too crazy in doing this, or am I just the right amount of crazy? Her support and watching her conquer her first super the day before in that weather. And this was the first Spartan race that she actually, her first obstacle course race in general that she didn't do with me. So seeing her conquer the super and making friends and running with Elise and some other people that picked up along the way, it was just incredible and really inspiring to see that. So definitely gave me some motivation for this sprint. And just having the rest of the Beast community as support and inspiration, and it was really great. I know we ran into Brandon Chin on his second lap at I think Inverted Wall, and that was really cool. Seeing him lead some new Spartans as the SGX coach heat, and that was just really cool to see. Yeah, and I could go on for a while about naming all the amazing Beasts, but just two more people with that, Virginia and Adam, definitely, and Janelle, three main inspirations. Virginia's story of doing the Montana Beast a few years back on crutches is just, it's famous now. Everybody knows about it, and that was truly inspiring to hear about. I was like, wow, if she can do that, then I can do this. And, that was definitely something really inspiring to me. And then Adam and Janelle especially really kept me like, yeah, you can do it, but just be smart about it. Don't hurt your ankle anymore. So, but having their support and just seeing all the crazy events they do. I mean, all three of them are taking, and Nick, since I mentioned him earlier, they're all taking on the Star Course yesterday and today, so they just do a lot of crazy. It's pretty intense, but just watching all the amazing things they do both on and off the course just really inspired me to take that challenge on. And of course, Casey McAllister, if he can do it with no legs, I can do it with one injured. So just the OCR community is full of inspiration and full of amazing people. I'm a firm believer everybody has their own obstacles before they even cross that finish line.
Yeah. And it definitely does ring true. And I know that, we always talk about community and stuff here, on BeastNet, and the cool thing, is that the inspiration doesn't just
stop with one person. Like, you know, you're inspired by all these people, which drives you to do, like you did, the sprint with this injured leg. And then people like myself see it and we're like, man, if this guy can do it and, you know, and he can succeed at it, then what do I have to complain about? Like, this guy's out here doing it injured. You know, he probably could have just taken it easy and said, you know what, I'm going to recover and I'm going to, you know, do all my rehabilitation first. But no, you were out there doing it. And it was like me seeing it, I was like, man, I have nothing to complain about. I'm going to stop grumbling about my feet and my, how cold I am. And I'm just going to keep going because this guy is giving like 200% much, you know, 200% more effort than I am to make it through on an injured leg. So, you know, it doesn't just stop with that one person, you know, it carries over. And I think that, like you said, the whole community aspect, which kind of carried on, over into, the Portland terrain, but we'll talk about that here in a bit. Before we talk about that, actually, I did want to ask you, so what exactly was, what was the toughest obstacle to accomplish, or the toughest obstacle to tackle at the sprint with that leg injury?
There was one. It's new this year. I forget the exact name of it, but it has the pipes and it's the metal frames are kind of an. One slanted forward and one slanted backward, and they have the metal pipes you grip onto and kind of the foot ledges. Do you know what I'm talking about there?
Yeah, that the one that was that the one that was like the X shape or something like that?
Yeah, I forget the name of it exactly. But that was really tough to conquer on the peg leg just because I didn't have the grip. With my feet that I would have liked. And so a little background about this before everyone thinks I'm totally crazy. So I knew that I was going to be weight bearing very shortly. I think actually after that, my doctor's appointment was on Monday after the sprint to be weight bearing again. And you know, I tried putting a little weight on my own, just standing and doing some really entry level stuff in my boot. So there were a couple obstacles where, all right, I'm having trouble doing it in my boot. Let me just take it off for all of 30 seconds so I can make it past that obstacle. So that X shape one was one of those where I had to do that. The cargo net, the A-frame cargo net there at the end right before the fire jump and finish line, that was another one. And anything like that was tough because that sole of the foot, although really grippy, it, you know, it wasn't as bulky as a normal foot or my foot in the boot. So I'd find myself kind of slipping through the holes, which just made it a lot more difficult. So for short instances, I would take the peg leg apparatus off just so I could have more grip and not fall on my face on top of the cargo net or other obstacles. But as far as actually running, you know, walking the course and doing all of that, the peg leg stayed on. It was just certain obstacles I did have to take it off. But that X shape and the cargo net and rope climb, I tried to get up for a little bit, and a combination of the rope being so slippery and not having any grip on the peg leg apparatus, I would say that was another very difficult one that I didn't accomplish due to the peg leg.
Yeah. But I mean, you know, you tackled pretty much everything else, and you know, that's, like I said, that's truly, you know, you've got to give yourself some credit. I mean, I know we all do. We're like, you know, some of us, I know, like I looked at, I did the X wall or the little X shape wall thing, as well. And that was hard enough for me to do. And I was just like, man, you know, how in the world do people get across this thing? You know, and I imagine if I had,
you know, I would probably attempt it with, you know, an injury, but in the back of my head, I'm thinking, okay, well, and I'm just going to go and do my burpees because there's no way I'm going to be able to do it. But, you know, and that's the thing, you know, you try it, you attempt it, and you know what it is that you have to improve when you fail it. And, you know, and I can't speak for it because, like I said, you know, you tackled all these obstacles with an injury, and here I am, you know, at the time fully able and fully bodied to do these obstacles. But I can imagine the upper body strength that probably would have to, you know, take, especially for myself, because I'm not a small guy, to hoist yourself up this rope without having the use of your feet. I know when we were in the Portland terrain a couple of weeks ago, you were, I was kind of struggling with the rope and whatnot, and you had shown me like the little feet techniques, you know, that you use to actually scale up the rope. And, you know, I've been really trying to work on that, but I couldn't imagine just doing it solely with your arms. That's insane.
Yeah. And especially with the conditions the way they were, you know, just the rope being so wet and a lot of people not being able to do it using different techniques, including their legs. It just, for me, I was already really burnt out. I believe that was right after the sandbag, and that took it out of me. I was doing really, really great, keeping positive mentality and just really pushing forward. But after that sandbag, that wiped me out. And it was really tough too.
Brutal.
And of course all the rain and everything, you know, just adds to the fun of it. Of course, fun being in air quotes there, so that really did a number on my mental toughness. And it's also just when you kind of get that massive hit and it slows you down, you also got to think, is it all right? Is the glory worth the risk there, and not having a way to catch myself if I slipped on that wet rope and being so high up, you know, that is not a recipe for success there. And already having an injury, that's not something I wanted to risk. And I mean, every obstacle, now that I'm thinking about your earlier question a bit more, every obstacle had its challenges, specifically the Atlas carry. I actually wasn't able to get low enough, and I think we may have seen Brandon in his first lap at the Atlas Dome. And I asked him any tips. He's like, you know, he was helping his new Spartans there with the SGX heat, but he was like, yeah, just get as low as you can and go from there. And I tried. I couldn't get low enough, so I'm just like, you know what, I'm gonna push it. So I actually crawled in the mud and pushed this Atlas down to the other end, did my burpees, and then pushed it on back. And so, you know, finding ways I can work around it. The tire, which I have trouble with anyways, the men's tire was just really, really tough. I can't remember. I want to say Nick helped me on the men's tire to do our flips. I can't remember if I did that or flipped the female tire instead, which I was able to get up without any assistance, even with the peg leg apparatus. But anything that really required me to lower my center of gravity to lift a heavier weight, that was very difficult, since the peg leg itself did not bend and the whole apparatus kind of took away my knee mobility there. So that was... Those obstacles were also very difficult, and burpees as well. You know, I'm, as a true Spartan, and kind of what I believe about the race is, you know, there's a penalty if you fail the obstacles, and if you're able to do the 30 burpees, that's what you should do. So I missed spear throw, which I was really bummed about, but I did my 30 burpees, and I think my girlfriend got a video of me doing those, but just burpees already suck in general. Throwing that peg leg in there, it was it was tough. Yeah. It was really tough. But yeah, you know, I was able to do those, and overall very proud of crossing the finish line, but just every time I see that video of me doing burpees in the peg leg, I'd be lying if I said I wasn't proud seeing that. So I'm really happy about that.
As you should be. All right, so let's talk a little bit about the past couple of races that we just did.
Sorry, you mind if I just want to throw one thing in there before we kind of make the transition? In case anybody ever thinks about doing something like that, I want to preface that I spoke with my doctor and my surgeon and made sure I was safely able to do stuff like that and what I could and couldn't do. And he essentially said, you know, just don't put any, you know, don't put a lot of pressure on your foot. You aren't ready to be full weight bearing, and et cetera, et cetera. And make sure you have like people who can help you. You know, I won't say my doctor was ecstatic about me doing a sprint race, but I made sure that I knew what I could and what I couldn't do. I didn't just go into this like, oh yeah, I broke my leg in February and it's April. I'm just going to take my boot off and take everything off and sprint it. You know, I made sure what I was doing was as safe as it could be given the situation. And I made sure to talk with my doctor and understand the risks and understand the consequences of if I messed up or what would happen before I did that. So I know some people, you know, just they don't know that side of it, and they just think I was like a little too crazy and rushing into it. But I just, you know, again, if anyone is ever considering it, you know, just make sure you're able to talk with your doctor about it and make sure you know what the risks and consequences are for doing something like that and how to do it in a relatively safe manner.
Yeah. I mean, like you said, you know, it's important because you don't want to jeopardize yourself for future events. You don't want to, you know, go into it with an injury and then that be the race that ends it all completely for you. You know, you want to be able to know what you physically can and cannot do, what your abilities are, your capabilities, and, you know, so that you can return to future races. You know, you don't want to go in there with the injury and, you know, complicate it even more and possibly, you know, out yourself the rest of your life for these events. So.
And not just focusing on OCR, but everything. You know, I don't want to have pain when I walk for the rest of my life. And I want to get back to jogging and running eventually, you know, so definitely taking it easy and like you said, not hindering yourself for future events or taking you out of the race completely. Really important.
Yeah, exactly.
Does your business need first aid, AED, OSHA, flagging, or other safety training? James Safety Services is your one-stop shop. Find them on Facebook today at James Safety Services WA and ask for a quote on hosting your training needs.
So let's transition over now to a couple weeks ago we did the Portland, it was the Portland Terrain, and right after that you and Rachel went over to Washougal and did the Portland Sprint as well. So I was there with Don and you and Rachel at the Portland Terrain Race. Did you do the did you do the Seattle Terrain Race the week prior?
I did, yes.
Okay, awesome, because I kind of wanted to talk to you about, I wanted to get your thoughts on the differences between the two races. Me personally, I really liked the Portland Terrain much better than I liked the Seattle Terrain. Not to say anything bad about the Seattle Terrain, it's just that I felt there was a vast difference in the feel, the I guess the overall atmosphere of the races the race in Portland to me felt much more like a terrain race, much more like an OCR than the one in Seattle felt. But at the same time, it was kind of interesting to see the terrain race at the track, and it kind of switched it up a little bit. You know, it was kind of a weird deal. So I wanted to get your thoughts on that.
So I agree, you know, having that on the track, definitely, having it on pavement through most of the course, it doesn't feel like the classic OCR trail run that we're all used to. I will say I did Seattle terrain race, and which was actually located in Monroe at the same location. I did that last year. Last year, that was my first terrain race, my introduction to it. And at the time, it was one of the most fun events I ever did. So I actually really enjoy that course, maybe more of a reminiscence and, and enjoy the occasion of what last year was. I think I did four laps at the Seattle location last year. I got to hang out with Christina, Nick and Josie, and a bunch of other really awesome beasts there and doing multiple laps. But this year, it was a little different. My girlfriend and I were coming back from a different event, and I actually didn't make the terrain race until the last heat at 5 o'clock on a Sunday. It definitely wasn't, it didn't feel like the typical OCR for me. Sure, the pavement, the venue may have helped with that, but also showing up to run a race at five in the evening on a Sunday night when barely anybody is there, that's definitely not the typical feel of an OCR. And also, just with time and throughout the day, the course course tape gets knocked down, things get moved, things get adjusted. And when you don't have a large crowd in front of you kind of to follow where the course is going, when that course tape gets knocked down, that definitely has something to do with it overall. But at the end of the day, I met some amazing people at the Seattle terrain race who I wasn't necessarily in the best mood starting at the terrain race in Seattle, but I met some amazing people at the start line, and it was their first OCR, and they just reminded me what it's all about. You know, when they came out into some of the mud pits, they cannonballed in, belly flopped, rolled around in the mud, but just messing with each other and having a great time. And it was like, man, why am I grumpy right now? It's about having fun, no matter what time of day it is, no matter what happened early in the day. OCR for me is about being there, having fun, and getting to be a little kid again. Just overall, if you break it down to the basics, you know, what did you think of the course, et cetera? Sure, it may not have been my favorite, but at the end of the day, I met some really great people, as always, and we just ended up having a blast. So I overall liked it, but the Portland terrain, I really enjoyed that. I mean, your more stereotypical terrain you have going on, and getting to meet you guys and meet Katie and Paxton were really great. And overall, just the setup, I think, felt a little bit more like that classic OCR that everyone likes.
Yeah. You know, and then you work in that surprise obstacle right there at the start line, the nest.
Oh, bees. Yeah, with the bees or wasps or... That was fun, yeah.
It was actually kind of funny. Occasionally, when they would kind of... Halfway through the course, you know, we started talking about the bees again, and it was funny because I made the mistake of, you know, like I was just like bees, and I said it like really loud, and so then people were like looking around like, oh gosh, more bees, and like so people were trying to like get away from me because I was the one yelling bees. But then after a while, it became kind of fun to like see who would react if you yelled bees.
And
so like occasionally, like if you got near like a large group, would you know, I'd look at Don and I'd be like bees, and you know, and it was kind of fun. to see how people kind of reacted to that. You know, that surprise element of the bees was definitely interesting, to say the least. But yeah, I actually really enjoyed that Portland terrain race. And like I said, you know, it was actually really cool getting to meet you and Rachel there. And then the whole, you know, everything with Katie and Paxton, you know, she was, you know, basically out with her kids. I know her older kid, had just taken off and did his own thing, and, you know, and she stayed with Paxton the entire time. And, that was really cool. I think one of my favorite parts of that entire race, you know, I always struggle with the ropes, and I thought it was cool that, you know, and I know you had a lot of fun with this as well, as did everyone else. But my favorite part of that whole race was when we got to the rope climb, because, you know, Paxton was climbing it himself, and he would get about halfway up, and he would get, I wasn't sure if it was necessarily that he was, you know, scared of the height, or if it was just that he was having trouble getting grip or whatever. But where, you know, you had said, all right, climb up the rope, and then you climbed up underneath him, and then he would move his feet up, and you'd climb up underneath him, and then you would give him a foothold with your hands, and then he would climb up the rest of the way, and he actually made it all the way to the top with your assistance. And to me, that was insanely cool.
Yeah, that was I was really happy to help with that. And just because I can do the rope climb doesn't mean everyone can. And I mean, Paxton was absolutely doing amazing. I mean, he was so energetic throughout the course. Yeah, and doing a lot of obstacles a lot of other people couldn't do. And I mean, yeah. I think he tried climbing the rope at least 3 or 4 times before I, you know, was able to help him.
Yeah.
But yeah, his smile and how happy he was when he hit the top of that rope made it worth it. I love doing things like that.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Part of the reason I continue to run OCR is the community aspect of it. And I know if I didn't do that, no one else would have. And, we've all had our first race. We've all done something for the first time and been nervous about it. And you're not been able to do something. I love when I meet people who haven't run a race before, children or adults or whoever the case may be. And, you know, I'm able to talk with them and help them up over the obstacle. And a common one is like a cargo net or the A-frame. The people are afraid of heights and don't know how to make that transition over a wall or over that cargo net at the top there. And Christina is a huge inspiration for this, because I believe the first person in Beast that I really saw do this for someone, but just, hey, look at me, we're going to get through this together, and really helping them up over the wall. And now I try and do that at a race. You know, I try and help people over obstacles that they don't feel like they can do on their own, you know, and just getting that hug or that awesome high five at the end of it when you're able to get someone through their fears and their personal obstacles with that is just, that's what keeps bringing me back, is helping people and paying kindness forward.
Like you said, that stands out as being the biggest reason why a lot of people come back. I know that's a big reason that I come back. You know, it's just the community aspect, and we meet new people at races that, you know, we can, you know, we see at future races, and we catch up with each other. And but that, like you said, the community is what brings you back. And if there's one word that we cannot stress enough on this podcast, it is community. And you'll hear community so much, you'll probably get sick of that word, but community is like the root of this whole thing.
Yeah, definitely. And I couldn't agree more. That's one of the first things that comes out of my reason, like, why do you, when people ask, why do you do Spartans or Tough Mudders or whatever the case may be, and I say community. It's just one of the best there is, and that camaraderie that's with strangers. I mean, Beast OCR having over 2,000 people, and BeastNet last year being rated in the top, I know for sure it was the top 10 obstacle course related podcast, but I want to say it did even better than that. And, got in the top four or five, but I can't remember for sure, but I know it was, it almost got an award and was nominated for an award. And that's due to the community, because we,
we love
each other through our love of OCR, and we love supporting each other in any aspect that we can. And, you know, just becoming friends outside of OCR. And, you know, we just met at, in person anyways, at the Portland Terrain Race. And now we've texted and kind of chatted outside of it. And that's kind of how this podcast episode came about. And it's building those relationships and meeting people who you might not meet outside of obstacle course racing, and networking and building that community is really just really awesome.
Yes, exactly. Exactly.
Like what you hear? Make sure and subscribe and review us on your favorite podcast platform. Be sure to find us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. If you're using YouTube, please click the little red subscribe icon, then click the little bell for notifications of future episodes. And if you could, give us a thumbs up.
So you guys, you and Rachel did the Portland Terrain Race that morning. And then directly afterwards, you guys had to haul it over to Washougal because you guys had the Portland Sprint directly after that. So
yes,
What was that one like?
It was great. It was really fun. I think they changed up the course from last year a little bit, and not too many huge hills, but a lot of kind of rolling ones, just because it is a motorbike park and it, you know, and a racetrack. So it definitely had that rolling hills aspect to it. But overall, it was just absolutely beautiful. Being in the trees, being in the forest there, and surrounded by nature it was so much fun. And of course, seeing even more beasts there because we got biggest team at that Spartan race. It was really great to see everybody, and overall, just a really great event. A friend that Rachel made at the Seattle Super this year actually flew out from Las Vegas to run this race with Rachel and I. So,
That's cool.
Again, just kind of leading back to that community, people you don't necessarily talk with on a regular basis or wouldn't know outside of the OCR community. You know, now we have a friend in Las Vegas, and she came out to do this race with us. So, and that's all because of the Seattle Spartan Super.
That's awesome. Yeah, see, I mean, the networking you get with stuff like this is just unbelievable. I know every year when everybody goes to Montana, everybody stays in a house over there. I know that quite a few people have arrangements in other cities, across the country. With other racers from those general areas that, you know, they can go for a race, and, you know, that person that lives there will be like, all right, hey, yeah, I've got room for you guys. You guys can crash on my floor, on my couch, bring a sleeping bag, whatever. It's just, you know, normally you don't see this kind of thing just among random strangers. I mean, and that's what is really cool about the OCR community, is that it doesn't matter if you've met before or not. I know I was going to do the Montana Beast this year, but I ended up actually having to defer that race because I got I had to go work in a different state for a little bit, and I had already made arrangements to stay at the house of everybody over in Montana, and I didn't know a single person really that would be staying there besides Mike. And Mike actually ended up not going this year, as far as I know. Don went, and so he really would have been the only person I knew, you know, out of the Beast or anybody really staying in that house. But I still felt like, because they opened that up to me, it was almost like I had known them my whole life, and they were just kind of like, oh yeah, you're family. You know, you can come in and sleep over here. We got room for you right here. It's crazy because, like I said, you don't know these people, and you never met them before, but yet here they are offering you a place to sleep, you know, when you're out of state. And most times you don't even have to ask. Most times people are proactive and they'll say, hey, if anybody's in the area from, you know, from wherever, hit me up. I've got space. You guys can crash here. And to me, that's really cool.
Yeah. And I actually had a similar story with Montana. I was so excited. Always heard amazing and terrible things about Montana. And I'm like, I want to do that race. So signed up well in advance, obviously broke my leg and dislocated my ankle and that whole thing, but I was still going to go and just volunteer and get a couple free race coats and support everyone over there. Jonathan Butler, who I've met a couple times and I would call us friends, even though we don't hang out on a consistent basis. But, you know, when we see each other at races or different events, it's always great to kind of reconnect. But we kind of got to talking over Facebook, and he invited me to stay at his place, or the Airbnb he got, and he, you know, just, we worked out the deal, and it was great. He kind of just that open arm welcoming, like, hey, you want to come to Montana and you don't have a place? Come crash with me. I'll make sure it's okay with the person who has the Airbnb, and we'll get it taken care of. And, you know, we were going to share a rental car and do all this stuff that, you know, we're friends, sure, but we don't hang out, you know, very often, and we don't get to see each other a lot. So just that welcoming, again, community and welcoming camaraderie amongst specifically Beast OCR, but throughout the obstacle course racing community is just, it never ceases to amaze me. And that's why I'm so happy to be not only a part of the OCR community, but be a part of Beast.
Awesome. So, I mean, I think that pretty much covers it. You know, we've talked quite a bit about, you know, your injury and how you overcame the difficulties and the challenges of, you know, surmounting these obstacles while being injured. I think it really speaks to the kind of character that you have, man, that you go out there and you push yourself and you have that support system. So it's really cool, man. I think it really, like I said, I think it really speaks a lot to your character. And you actually play a really big part in that that welcoming aspect in this community. And I think it's very valuable to what Beasts does. And so I wanted to thank you for that, man. That's really awesome.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. Yeah, I try. You know, I mean... You know, people welcomed me into obstacle course racing. And I remember my first race, it was the Sacramento Sprint in 2015. And I just remember being excited and terrified and just all sorts of different things when I got, you know, to my first race. And I actually volunteered as a course marshal. I believe now they call it an obstacle course referee, but at the time the volunteer position was called a course marshal. And so you show up on Friday for a 30-minute briefing about how to use video cameras for the elites, and which are used to make sure the first 30 people or so are doing their burpees, as you know, elites and age group are eligible for prize money. So showed up there. A lot of people who were volunteering for that position were seasoned at least 2, 3 or more races, and told everyone it was my first time. And the Spartan employee, as well as the fellow volunteers, kind of took me around, showed me some obstacles, and let me play a little bit on the multi-rig. And, you know, it was just a really great first impression of Spartan and the people that do it, both volunteer, run, and work for that race. And I actually still, from time to time, I still see people that from that first volunteer shift that I did. And it's not like we're buddy-buddy or anything, but we'll say hi, give each other a hug. And I mean, just it's really, really great to see those people and, you know, have that great experience with my first Spartan race and my first OCR. I want to pay that forward in everything I do, because that's what keeps people coming back. You know, the not only sense of accomplishment and conquering that, but the community. And so, yeah, that's definitely something I try and pay forward every chance I get when I'm at a race or any type of event.
Awesome. Well, dude, I really appreciate you taking the time to be on the podcast today. It's definitely been a conversation that, you know, we've been wanting to have for a little bit. And I'm glad we finally actually got to have this talk, man. That was really cool.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me. I'm, you know, always kind of in the back of my mind was like, oh, I think that'd be so cool to be a guest speaker on BeastNet. Like, and it's just, it's really great that you guys gave me this opportunity and let me share my story a little bit. So thank you for that.
Yeah, definitely, man. We will, you know, and it's never that far outside of the realm of possibility to have repeat guests. So
I can't wait. Maybe when I fully heal up and get back to training and, you know, give Lorenzo and Patrick and some other age group and elite racers a run for their money and finally get a podium one day, maybe you guys can have me back on then. But yeah, and just a shout out on that note, because we did talk about the Portland sprint, just another shout out to Lorenzo for taking first in his age group. You know, that yeah, he's exactly. Been working hard this year and he you know, just hit it out of the park and really hit it hard at that race and every race he does. So looking forward to seeing him at the Seattle races and seeing him podium at Tahoe. I know he can do it.
Thanks for listening to the BeastNet podcast. If you haven't done it yet, find us on Facebook. Like and share the podcast. Give us a review on iTunes or Spotify. All these things will help to expand the show in the future. This show is brought to you by James Safety Services in partnership with Beast OCR. Don't forget to subscribe and let us know what you think and what you like to hear. You can find us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, or at beastocr.com.